Hi, everybody. It's Jim Baekhyai. Podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. Every week, there's all kinds of stuff that pass through my life, and some of it's kind of humorous, some of it's kind of sad, and some of it's kind of bewildering, to tell you the truth. But when I find one of these things, I like to share them because I think they are really little sort of jewels. And as I stroll through LinkedIn, often I find things there that I find fascinating. But I think this week, one of the best ones goes to Netflix. They've got this billboard and it says, "Don't give up on your dreams. We started with DVDs." I thought it was absolutely perfect. Part of the whole way of thinking about we don't know what we don't know, and we have to learn as we go along. We've got to keep putting ourselves out there. I remember that actually because I had signed up for Netflix. I don't know why, but I hadn't quite realized that they mail the DVDs to you. And somebody had suggested it, this is our place in Florida. And then it was taking forever. And I thought, this is the stupidest idea in the world. Like, this thing will never work. It'll fail miserably. And I was right. It did fail miserably. But out of the ashes arose something far more powerful. And even in the beginning, they didn't have it quite right. But they stayed at it. And, you know, now the stock's at $635. It's Netflix changed the world. I'm not sure their intention was to change the world, but it sort of occurred along the way. And it kind of reminds me of, so yesterday I had a really great moment in that I was speaking with a gentleman named Jordan Jacobs, who's the co-founder of Radical Ventures, which is an artificial intelligence private equity firm. I spent an hour with him because we're doing some work together. And, you know, that hour with him was so exciting, listening to him talk about what's going out on in the world in artificial intelligence, whether it's from agriculture, whether it's from a weather perspective, whether it's from oil and gas, whether it's from human resources, hiring people, just the bandwidth for all of these companies that none of us have ever heard about. Probably just like a Netflix in time, or an Apple in time, or, you know, Tesla in time. None of us have ever heard about it. Toiling away somewhere with a bunch of really smart people. And as my son said to me once, Sam, when he was working in California, "You know, Dad, these people that start these companies don't start them with the attitude of making $1 billion for themselves. They're trying to solve one of the problems of the world. And they're trying to make the place better. Through that, it catches fire and everything else." But I got off the phone and I called my wife yesterday and I said to her, because she's out of town too. And I called her and I said, "This is just, it was such a great day. It was so exciting. It stimulated my intellectual curiosity. And I need that," I said. "I need that." Then I wondered how many people out there are actually putting themselves out to sort of get into worlds that don't exist for you, right? Or outside your no idea of what is going on out there, and sort of expand your reading, expand your contacts, take yourself into places that you normally wouldn't have. Even if it has nothing to do with your life, it has everything to do with stimulating your mind. And every stimulation in your mind, it's like every reaction and action, it leads you to a better place, right? It leads you to a more knowledgeable place. But listening to Jordan, and I can't wait to have him on the show, was just like, I felt like a kid going, "Okay, can I come work with you? I'll work with you for free. I just want to be around all of this. I want to see this transformation." And it sort of reminds me of California in the early 2000s, you know, when I should have probably gone because I thought I was too old then. But if I have a chance to get into this AI world, and just to remind my listeners, this fascination with artificial intelligence for me came out of having read Fareed Zakaria's book, 10 post-pandemic lessons. And one of the key things that came out of that book was Fareed talking about how artificial intelligence is going to be bigger than the Industrial Revolution. Not that I'm an expert on it, but I can easily see that. And I can also see the impact that that will have on humanity and jobs and what we do. And, you know, maybe we won't be working 5 days a week. Maybe it'll be four. Maybe it'll be three. Maybe there'll be universal income because, you know, artificial intelligence doesn't require a million people or 10 million people to work there. So keep pushing yourself. Keep taking yourself out. And it's exhausting, you know, sometimes. You know, you have to do a lot of reading. You have to do a lot of networking. But it's good for you. It's good for everybody else. So, you know, speaking of four-day work weeks, I saw that that somewhere in Scandinavia, Norway, or, you know, one of those advanced countries has moved to a four-day work week or some companies. And it's a huge success. You know what I often wonder about Scandinavia? What is it about Scandinavia that makes them so advanced in their thinking? What is it about them that lets them experiment with things that we would not even think about? You know, that their whole focus in life is about their people. It's not about their politicians and all of this other bullshit that's going on in sort of North America. You know, I know people say, oh, well, you know, they're only a population of 5 million people. It's a lot easier to do. But is it really a lot easier to do? Is it much different? Can you not? I mean, you know, in Scandinavia, the banks were the first to not hold cash. And the reason they didn't hold cash is because they got robbed too often. And who led that change? The tellers union said, you know, we're not coming to work if there's cash in the banks. And so they take the cash out of the banks. And then that sort of, you know, takes them the next step. Someone develops a Coke machine that you can buy, you know, with a credit card or, you know, this or that. It's just remarkable the advancements that go on in certain regions of the world, certain parts of countries, but they don't catch on globally. And you have to ask yourself the question, why? Why don't things that make lives better catch on globally? And the answer has to be, it's not in the best interest of certain people. It's like a tipping scale when change occurs. It becomes in the best interest of more than less people. People say, you know, why is politics so messed up? Because it's not moved off the best interest of the politicians. And by the way, it's not just politicians, it's people in corporations. When they get a sense that, you know, oh, diversity is important, whew, they move right over to that column. Oh, gender is important. Boom, they move over to that column. But the pieces are still the same pieces that were there from before. And at a point in time, everything that's unacceptable no longer becomes tolerated. And the world changes dramatically. So what great idea is going on in your life that you should share? What is it that you think you can bring to your job, to even your family or whatever, that you think, you know what, we should think about doing this differently. We should really think about doing a better way, a more sustainable way, a more mindful way. Test yourself, push yourself. One of the best ways to do that is to educate yourself. And I've been feeling kind of blasé this week. I don't know why, maybe the weather, but like what a spark I had out of that conversation with Jordan. And I've had a couple of other ones with different people that are doing really neat, creative stuff. It's so exciting. And then for me, it's just boom, exploded my mind with ideas and opportunities. I even got a little extra rambunctious today in that I was talking to one of my clients and we were talking about a particular deal, you know, to hire some people. And I'd really been pushing them on it. And they keep saying it's too expensive. And so I said, well, just what would you pay? Like, just put a number on it and I'll see if they'll do it. And it's a brand new venture. There are no milestones for this. There's no sort of guardrails. this is kind of much like the things I'm talking about when these people probably started them. My client came back and said, no, I just can't get buy-in for it. And I said, you know, there's some things in life that you'll never get buy-in for. You just have to do it. And if you're looking to make the decision by committee, you think Steve Jobs, you think Bill Gates, you think any of these people, not only those guys at the top, but the hundreds of thousands of people that started companies or had a good idea or started a business, did it by committee? No. The fact of the matter is, by the time the committee agrees to do it, the greatest opportunity is already gone. It can't be done by committee. Somebody's got to say, we're going to do this. I use the example of the mortgage-backed securities market in Canada. And we started it at Wood Gundy when I was there in the early 80s. And there was no mortgage-backed securities market in Canada. Didn't exist. And I sort of went, why? And they went, well, you know, because everybody only buys whole mortgages institutionally. And I said, okay. And I hired a guy. I said, well, we're gonna build one. And everybody went, no, like, no, that's just, like, you're an idiot. That's just never going to happen. And I said, well, has anybody ever tried it? And they said, no. And I said, why? And they said, because it doesn't work. I said, well, how do you know it doesn't work? And they said, well, it doesn't work. I said, okay. So I went and found a guy down in New York called Mark Landau. We brought him up here, hired a couple of young kids to work with him, Richard Nesbitt and Lance Ugala, and said to these guys, off you go. I'll fund it. I'll finance it. Let's get this thing going. And, you know, Mark made a big commitment moving from the United States to Canada. So, you know, the whole thing cost a bunch of money. And every client they went to see said, no, we're not interested in the mortgage-backed securities market. No, we're not interested in the mortgage-backed securities market. But they kept plugging. They kept plugging. They kept plugging. And they kept plugging. And then they kept coming up with different ideas. And then they finally got a couple of people to say, yeah, you know what? That now that you look at it this way, it's not like we can continue to buy whole mortgages, but we could also buy securitized mortgages. And then they got a couple of clients. And then now a problem was we had to build a pipeline to get mortgages for the mortgage-backed securities. Well, there was no pipeline. And so Ivan Wolf and Brendan Calder started First Line Trust, and they started to create. And now there are hundreds of brokers originating mortgages across Canada. It didn't exist. If I'd taken that to a committee, everybody would have said, that's never going to happen. You know, talking about, you know, the mortgage-backed securities market and people not listening and everything. My producer, Katie, has a great story to tell about when she worked at the CBC. Katie, go ahead.
So this reminds me so much of the time when I had my internship at CBC back in 2014. My show used to post these things online called Listen Agains, which were basically the radio show that showed up online that you could listen to, essentially an early version of podcasts. So I told my host before I left my internship, I said, hey, you should really release these Listen Agains as a podcast so that people can subscribe and listen to the show whenever they want, because it was a late night radio show. And she told me straight to my face that podcasts were not going to be a thing. There was no point in investing any time or energy in releasing them because nobody listens to podcasts. And so I left CBC, my internship ended, kept making podcasts on my own, and look where we are today. Podcasts are more popular than ever.
Exactly. And the additional irony of that is, I don't know who that person is, but I would suspect if we talked to them today, they would say, oh, we were the original podcast. You know, they would take credit for having done that Listen Again, as opposed to, you know, that's the whole part about, we've talked about revisionist history before, right? Nobody actually knows. And if they just tried, open that narrow mind of yours and just tried it, what would it have cost? Nothing to rebrand that as a podcast, to try to get subscribers, right? And why don't people do it? Narrow-mindedness or basic laziness? Either one, death nail of creativity. So you can't wait for everybody to be on board. Sometimes you got to take a couple of bucks, you got to put it on the pass line, or you got to put it on 7-Eleven, and you got to know that you may lose that money, but you're going to do it again. and you may lose that money, but you're going to do it again. But then when you do hit, you're going to hit big. And we did the same thing in the securitization market in Canada. There was no securitization market. Why? Because banks hold all their assets. They don't securitize them. 1 hour across the border was a massive securitization market. But here in Canada, no, we know better. So think about you, your company. What are those things that just, you know, need to be done? Those things that you look at it and you go, this is just stupid. There's a better way. And start to write them down. Go get more information on it. You're going to need, you know, in my case, I didn't need anybody's okay because I was in charge. And so I was able to do it. But I still took a lot of heat from it for my part. Now you're kind of wasting our money. You know, this is stupid. You know, why don't we stick to the same old buggy whip, you know, manufacturing company that we've always had? Because, you know, eventually buggy whips went out of business. And, you know, you look at the top 10 companies in the Dow or NASDAQ or the TMX, and they're different than 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 years ago. And so, you know, if you're self-employed, you work in a corporation, ask yourself the question, you know, is my company going to be in that top 10, that top 20 in the next 10 or 20 years? And if they're not, start looking for companies, right? There is an unbelievably exciting world going on outside the traditional bricks and mortar businesses. And it's fascinating and it's exciting and it's world changing with a real desire to make things better. So reach out, find out, learn, read, listen, talk, make that your fall project so that when you get to the new year and you get to your New Year's resolution will be, I'm going to find something to do that is exciting and fun, and I feel like I have a purpose. I'm Jim Bakei. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust.